గురుభ్యో నమః. హరి ఓం. సదాశివసమారంభాం శంకరాచార్యమ్యమాం అస్మదాచార్య పర్యంతం వందే గురు పరంపరాం సద్గురు చరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమః. అవిరోధాధ్యాయ స్మృత్యధికరణం. స్మృత్యనవకాశదోష ప్రసంగ ఇతి చేత్ న అన్యస్మృత్యనవకాశదోష ప్రసంగాత్ ఇతరేషాంచ అనుపలబ్ధే యోగ ప్రత్యుక్తధికరణం. ఏతేన యోగ ప్రత్యుక్త విలక్షణత్వాధికరణం. అభిమాని వ్యపదేశస్తు విశేష అనుగతిభ్యాం. వి ఆర్ ఇన్ ది సెకండ్ చాప్టర్ ఆఫ్ బ్రహ్మసూత్ర ఫస్ట్ పాద. సూత్ర 5 ఈస్ వాట్ వి రెడ్ జస్ట్ నౌ. Let us first do a general analysis of this sutra. Here, Sankhya continues with his Purvapaksha. That is, for him, Vedantin's answer has not come to his satisfaction yet. And he is expecting an objection from the Vedanta Ekadeshi. Yesterday, I introduced this term Ekadeshi. He is a third party person who is an Advaitin, but at the same time, he gets a confused Advaitin. Whether Advaitin gives that objection or not, he imagines it from the Advaitin. And what is the objection he is now raising? And for whatever objection he has, he says, I have a ready-made answer also. The objection of the Vedanta Ekadeshi, this third party Vedantin, is they can say that Salakshanya Niyama is not violated, because world is also Chetana. This is possible objection from Advaitin or third party Advaitin. The Tatparyam is not who is the objectionist, but he may say that there is nothing wrong, nothing called inert in creation at all, and everything is Chetana only in creation. In some of them, sentiency is manifest more, and in some, sentiency is manifest less. Human beings are more aware, animals are less aware, plants are much less aware. So in this way, the sentiency varies in degree one. So this objection says that this is supported by Veda Pramana itself. Brahman created Agni Tattvam first. By visualizing Agni Tattvam, he created Agni. Then Agni visualized what should be the next creation. Then Agni created Jalam. And Jala Tattva visualized and created the earth principle. So Shruti talks of Agni Tattvam and Jala Tattvam and so many other things. And from this it is clear that they are Chetanam only. When you say Agni visualized, Apaha visualized, that means they should be Jala, there should be Chetana Tattvam only is the argument. So the creation born out of the 5 elements, they also are Chetanam. Stone is Chetanam, desk is Chetanam, this mic is Chetanam. The difference between body and desk is one is more Chetanam, another is less Chetanam. That is all the difference. All are Chetanam only. It is like a waking man and a sleeping man. Therefore, the entire creation is Chetanam only. Brahman is Chetanam. So where is the violation of Salakshanyam is the question by the Purvapakshi. No violation. Who tells whom? An objectionist asks the Sankhya philosopher, not us. The third party objectionist, he is asking the Sankhya philosopher. Further, the Sankhya philosopher, he smiles and he says, I have a reply for you. What is that? Abhimani vyapadeshastu Vishesha Anugatibhyam. That is the 5th sutra. That is his reply. I told you these two are Purvapaksha sutras in the last class. This is not Siddhanta sutras yet. Abhimani Vyapadeshastu Vishesha Anugatibhyam is his reply. This is Sankhya's answer to the intermediary objectionist, third party objectionist. The objection is not given in the sutra. We should be careful. That is to be supplied by us. And the answer of Sankhya is what? Jagat is Chetanam only. Shruti itself has said vijnanancha avijnanancha vijnanancha avijnanancha. Yesterday we recited that particular portion of Upanishad. Therefore agni tattvam, jala tattvam, etc. are all achetanam. There is no question of chetanatvam of elements and elemental. I cannot accept it. Then what about the visualization statement that Upanishad makes? You have to justify that. If they are all achetanam, how Veda can talk about these achetana vastus, agni, apaha and all that thing, visualizing the Shri creation? The Sankhya himself accepts Veda Pramanam and says, you cannot negate the Vedic statement because Veda is Pramanam. And what you should know is, whenever Veda says agni visualizes, water visualizes, do not conclude agni is chetanam, and what you should take is the lakshyartha, the implied meaning of agni. And lakshyartha of agni is what? Is agni devata, which is the adhishtana devata, not the vachyartha, the literal meaning fire for agni. So inert agni has got the adhishtana devata, and it is also supported by the Upanishad itself, which talks about yetaha devataha. Later in Chandogya Upanishad also, the Upanishad itself uses the word devataha, indicating that the word agni refers to agni adhishtana devata, which is chetanam. And apa ikshanta, apa adhishtana devata, then apa water visualizes means what? The adhishtana devata of water, which is chetanam, that visualizes. Therefore, Shruti does not support your idea that Agni is Chetanam and therefore Agni is Achetanam only according to Shruti also. Therefore, the material cause also must be Achetanam is the conclusion of Sankhya. The material cause, Upadana Karanam for creation, Srishti, also should be Achetanam only. It cannot be Chetanam. And in support of that, the Sankhya philosopher quotes some Shruti Vakyas also. From Veda he quotes, occurring in Kaushitaki Upanishad. We have quoted this Upanishad earlier. Atato nishreyasadanam yetahavai devataha. Aham shreyase. All those things in Kaushitaki. Yetahavai devataha. That is the important part of this particular quotation from Kaushitaki Upanishad. And in Aitareya Upanishad also we have seen, in the first chapter, second section, fourth mantra, agnir vagbudva mukam pravishate, vayuhu prano bhutva nasike pravishate, adityaha chakshur bhutva akshini pravishate, dishaha shrotram bhutva karno pravishate, annaha oshadi vanaspatayo lomani bhutva tvacham pravishate, chandrama mano bhutva hridayam pravishate, mrityuhu apano bhutva nabhim pravishate, apaha reto bhutva shishnam pravishan. In all these statements, the Upanishad clearly says, after creating the inert world, the devatas entered the inert world as deciding principles, pravishate, they entered. That means behind the inert Surya, Surya Devata has entered. Behind the inert Chandra, Chandra Devata has entered. And that is why when we do Sandhya Vandanam, we are not praying to inert Surya. Then we will be fools. Who will pray to inert Surya? Because it cannot even listen to our prayers. Inert Surya cannot listen to our prayers. So where is the question of then blessing? So therefore, the Upanishad talks about the entry of devatas in every organ, which is inert by itself. The organs are inert by itself. And we have all the adhishtana devatas, Surya, Chandra, Agni, Vayu, all of them. Therefore, Vishesha Anugati Pyam in the sutra is there because of two reasons. One is Upanishad itself uses the word devataha. There is a specification by using the expression devata. And what do we mean by specification here? The word Agni can refer to either inert visible fire or the sentient invisible devata. And Shruti itself specifies what it means among these two. Therefore, the specification supports that Agni is Agni devata only, not inert Agni. And also there is Anugatihi. there is an inherent devata in the entire creation. That is why for Vaidikas, everything is worshipable. When we go to Kashi, we do namaskarams to Ganga river. And it is not the river, but the Ganges deity, mother goddess Ganga. We sprinkle the water and say, Ganga Gangeti yo bruyat yojananam satairapi. Do namaskara to Ganga, Ganga devata, and not to the inert Ganges water. Similarly, mountains, etc. They are all, who says all this? The Sankhya says to the objectionist, third party objectionist. And therefore, what is his contention now? Wherever Veda says insentience, visualization, etc., we should take as Devata Amsha and not the inner part. Agni Devata, Vayu Devata, Jala Devata, all of them. Therefore, what? There is separate inert creation and separate sentient devata, and therefore you should accept inert creation and the sentient devata. This is Sankhya's reply. We should not confuse. This is all Sankhya's reply. Now let us go to the word analysis. I already told you this is the Purvapaksha Sutra. Now let us go for the word analysis. First, I will give you the running meaning. First, there's a word tu. Tu means however. And the next words are Abhimani Vyapadeshaha, reference to the presiding deity. That is to be understood in relevant cases. It's not said in the sutra. We have to supply it. So Vishesha Anugadibhyam, because of such specification, where? In the Shruti, in the Vedas. And because of the inherence, that is pervasion of the presiding deity. Now, this is the actual running meaning of this particular sutra. Now let us look at the significance of the word, because running meaning itself will not communicate to us the full meaning. The significance of the words, let us see now. The first word is tu. Tu is the refutation of Purvapaksha. Purvapaksha, the objectionist, it is being Purvapaksha Nirashaha. Who is the Purvapaksha here? The Ekadeshavadi, objecting. Who is objecting? And who is negating? Sankhya philosopher is negating. I am reminding again and again, because we should not lose track of that. Because normally Siddhanti negates. This time the Sankhya philosopher negates. And the next word is what? Abhimani Vyapadeshaha. It is a compound word. Abhimani plus Vyapadeshaha. Abhimani means presiding devata. And Vyapadeshaha means reference. Therefore, Abhimani Vyapadeshaha means Abhimani Devatana Vyapadeshaha. The reference here is only to the presiding deity. Whose reference? Vedic reference is only or to the presiding deity. And in which context? All those we have to supply. Tat Teja Aikshata, Taha Apaha Aikshanta. In all these cases, whenever Upanishad says fire thought of or water thought of, water visualizes, in all those cases, it refers to the respective devata only and not the inert fire or water. And we say Surya Namaskara refers to Surya Devata Namaskara. Wherever inert things are mentioned, take the respective devatas in all such statements. And the next word is what? Vishesha Anugatibhyam. It is a compound word, Visheshaha and Anugatihi. Visheshaha means the specification. Veda itself uses the word devata in such context, either immediately before or after. The word devata is used to indicate what? Agni does not mean inert Agni principle, but the Chetana Agni Devata principle. And what is the quotation to be kept in mind? We said already, Kaushitaki Upanishad, 2nd chapter, 14th mantra, Etaha Vai Devataha Aham Shreyase Vivadamanaha, etc. It's a big mantra. I just only took the relevant particular statement only. Or in Chandogi also in 5th chapter, Shankaracharya quotes that Teha Pranaha Prajapatim Pitrametyochuhu and all that. Things another big mantra. And then the next word is Anugatihi. So all these Shruti statements, they definitely confirm that the devatas are implied. And the next word is Anugatihi. Anugatihi means inherence. Inherence of the devata in every inert object. Revealed by what? Vedas, Shruti. And what is the Shruti Vakyam that is kept in mind? I already quoted that. Aitareya Upanishad, first chapter, second section, fourth mantra, Agnir Vag, Agnihi Vag Bhutva Mukham Pravishate, Vayuhu Prano Bhutva Nasike Pravishate, etc. And we talk of inert objects, we refer to twofold inert objects also. We have to be careful again to understand this. When we talk about inert objects, twofold inert objects. One is our organs themselves are inert, made of Prakriti and accepted by Sankhya. Indriyani, they are all inert. Then the Upanishad says, Agnir Bhutva Mukham Pravishate, in the mouth, Agni Devata is there. In the eyes, Surya Devata is there. Every organ has got the respective devatas. That is why in Mundaka Upanishad also we have seen this mantra. Gataha Kalaha Panchadasha Pradishtaha Devasya Sarve Prati Devatasu. When we say Panchadasha, all organs including devatas, 15, go away at the time of death. They all go away at the time of death, as revealed by the Shruti. All these devatas, they go away from the body, from those organs, respective organs. If devatas have to separately leave the body, it means what? Devatas are also present in the body. And not only in the body, outside the body also, devatas are present. Therefore, Visheshascham Anugatischam. Vishesha Anugati Tabhyam Vishesha Anugati Bhyam Panchami. Ketvate Panchami. Because of this, the objection is please wrong. We have to accept that there is Achetana Prapancham which is separate from the Chetana Devatas. So this Achetana Prapancham must be created by what? By Achetana Prakriti alone. It cannot be created by Chetanam Brahma. Who argues? Sankhya argues. Because for him, the entire creation came from Pradhanam, which is equivalent to Prakriti, which is inert. So this is the content of the Sankhya Purvapaksha. Now we have to go to the answer by the Siddhanti. So yesterday we saw one, today another. Both these two sutras are all Purvapaksha sutras, as I mentioned. So now we have to go to the answer by the Siddhanti in the next sutra. It's a small sutra. Drishyate tu. Drishyate tu is the sutra, sixth sutra of the second chapter, first section, first pada. Let us do the general analysis of the sutra. So through which the Sankhya Purvapakshi, he is refuted by whom? By Vyasacharya himself through the sutra. And what is the Purvapaksha here? Cause and effect must be similar. We already spoke about it earlier. Cause and effect must be similar. In Advaita Vedanta, that rule is violated. Who says? Purvapakshi. Sankhya Purvapakshi says that rule is violated in Advaita and in Advaita Vedanta. In Sankhya, it is not. In Vedanta, this rule is violated because the cause is Chetanam Brahman. Effect is Achetanam universe. Whereas in Sankhya, the rule is not violated because the cause is also Achetanam Pradhanam or Prakriti, and the effect also is Achetanam, the world. Therefore, Vedante Salakshanya Nima Bhangaha Vattate. Salakshanya Bhanga Anurodaha Sankhya. So therefore, Tarka supports me. Who says? Sankhya says. The Sankhya and Tarka supports Sankhya only and not Vedanta is his claim. And what is our answer for that? We have three answers at three different levels to suit different levels of people. We will just enumerate the three answers first and then we will elaborate it next. First answer is what? We say, Salakshanya Niyama, law of similarity. Salakshanya Niyama means the law of similarity between cause and effect is acceptable to us. Who says? Vedantin says. And is not violated in Vedanta. This is his first answer. Law of similarity between cause and effect is acceptable to us and is not violated in Vedanta. First answer. This answer is given by Shankaracharya in his Bhashya. And the second answer is Salakshanya Niyama is acceptable to us, but the Salakshanya Niyama is not applicable in Vedanta. In the previous thing it was said, does not violate it. Now here, the second answer, it says, it is not applicable in Vedanta. Therefore, there is no question of violation. If there is applicability only, then you can talk about violation. There is no, it's not at all applicable. So this answer is given by Vyasacharya himself later, not here, in another very important adhikaranam, arambana adhikaranam. That sutra, tad ananyatvam arambana shabdadibhyaha. Tad ananyatvam arambana shabdadibhyaha. We are going to discuss this sutra very elaborately, this adhikaranam elaborately then. So there this answer is hinted, not explicitly said. What is the answer here? Salyakshan niyama is acceptable to us, but this niyama is not applicable in Vedanta. And the third answer is, Salakshanya niyama itself is not applicable, acceptable to us. So in first two cases, it is acceptable. In one case, it is acceptable and not violated. In the second case, it is acceptable, but not applicable. Here it is not acceptable at all. Third answer. So in the first two answers, there is a particular nyaya. I might have mentioned it earlier. This is called the Tushyatu Durjana Nyaya. Okay, I will also accept it. That kind of thing, you know, Abhyupetya Vada, this is called. So you accept it for the sake of accepting it. Okay, this guy anyway, he's not going to leave me. He'll keep on arguing. Let me just accept it. Let this guy be off my shoulders. So that kind of attitude. Tushyatu Durjana Nyaya. Therefore, accepting Salakshanya Niyama, we give two answers, first answer and second answer. And the third answer is Salakshanya Niyama itself is not acceptable to us. And the third answer alone is given by Vyasacharya in this sutra. Therefore, this sutra is the third answer. Okay, we will take each answer and see, elaborately see what they mean. The first answer is Salakshanya Niyama is acceptable to us and not violated by Vedanta. This is given by Shankaracharya in his Bhashya. How does he establish this? Very interesting. He asks a question to Sankhya. Oh, Sankhya, you say that cause and effect must be selection, should be similar. That is, karya karana yoho salakshanyam, identity should be there between karyam and karana. And when you talk about similarity, he asks the question, Shankara asks the question, do you mean absolute similarity or partial similarity between cause and effect? Shankaracharya, whom he asks, he is asking Kapila Muni, who is the Sankhya proponent. Is it atyantika salakshanyam va or only amshika salakshanyam? Suppose Sankhya says that should be absolute salakshanyam, both should be identical absolutely in all features. Then what will be the problem? Then the cause and the effect will not be called the cause and effect. The effect which is absolutely identical with the cause will be cause only. Will be cause only. And in what way you call it effect? Karya karana bhavaha eva na bhavati. Karya karana sambandaha eva na bhavati. Because there will not be two things at all, because cause and effect, cause is effect and effect is cause. There is no difference at all between them, between these two. For example, from Rama, Rama was born. Father and son are same in all respects. There will not be father and son separately. There will be only one person. For this, Sankhya will say that they are similar in certain respects and certain other respects, there are differences there. For example, Prakriti is avyaktam and Prapancha is vyaktam. Therefore, Salakshanya Niyama means there are some similarities and sometimes it is more and sometimes it is less. Sometimes it is so close and we will say son is exactly looking like the father. The world has got five factors. There is a Drig Drishya Viveka, another beautiful grantha. And there is one shloka there which says, Asti Bhati Priyam Rupam Nama Chetyamsha Panchakam Adyatrayam Brahma Rupam Jagat Rupam Tato Dvayam. Every entity has got five aspects. Five aspects. What are the five aspects are there? It is there, it shines, it is dear, its name, its form. So the first three things, they refer belong to the reality and later two belongs to the world. Asti. Asti means it exists, asti. And then bhati, it is evident. Then priyam, it is a source of ananda, joy. Then rupam, it has a form. Nama, it has a name. So sat, chit, ananda, nama, rupa, these are the five features. Sat, chit, Ananda, Nama, Rupa, five factors. And three are borrowed from Brahman only. In certain objects, existence alone is evident. And in some other objects, existence and consciousness are evident, closer to Brahman. And in the case of a Jivan Mukta, a Jnani, existence, consciousness, and Ananda are all evident. And so Brahman is similar to Sat aspect, Sat Chit aspect, and Sat Chit Ananda aspect, depending on whom you are talking to, who is the person you are talking about. So you cannot say there is no violation of Salakshanyam Niyama. So this is answer number one. And the second more important answer is, I said Salakshani Niyama we accept, but it is not relevant. It is not applicable to the Vedanti creation. It is not applicable. The reason is Upanishad does not mention Karana Karya Sambandha between world and Brahman in the beginning state of Adhyaropa Prakarana or Srishti stage. But later in Apavada Prakarana, where we do negation, Upanishad itself negates Karana Karya Sambandha. Therefore, ultimately speaking, Brahman is not a Karanam at all. It is negated. For this, we have three supports. And the first support is again Kaushitaki Upanishad. That's the Kathopanishad. Anyatra Dharmatim, Anyatra Adharmatim, Anyatra Asmat, Krita Kritat. Anyatra Bhutacha Bhavyacham, Yatat Pashyati, Tadvada. That's what Nachiketas. His question and the answer from Yamadharmaraja. Brahman is beyond cause and effect. Krita means karyam. Akritam means karanam. Then in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad also in the Madhubrahmana we have seen this. Tad yetad brahman apurvam anaparam anantaram abhahyam. Apurvam anantaram, without karanam and without karyam. That means Shruti tells that Brahman is not a Karanam. Logic also supports this. Because since Brahman is Nirvikaram, without any change, it cannot modify to become an effect. Brahman is not subject to change and so cannot become a product. Therefore, Nirvikaratvatim Brahma Karyam Na Bhavitum Arhati. It cannot become Karyam, effect. Therefore, because of the Shruti and Yukti support, we find that Brahman is not a Karanam ultimately and in intermediate stage. If the Upanishad says Brahman is Karanam, we should translate it as though Karanam. Not really Karanam, but as though Karanam. And the technical word we use is what? Vivarta Upadana Karanam. I already mentioned in one of the classes, Nimitta Karanam, Parinami Karanam, Vivarta Upadana Karanam, all that. It means it is not a cause in the complete sense of the term, but it is said to be a cause for certain purposes. It's as though karana. Like saying, Simho Manavakaha. I have already given this example earlier. This person, this boy, this person is like is a lion. Not that he is a lion in full sense of the term. He has the courage of a lion, or he is a member of a lion's club. There are some lions in this universe class also. There are members of Lions Club. How can he be called a lion? Some Samanya Dharma is there. And similarly, Brahman is Karanam because there is some similarity in Karanam. When you study that, we should know what are the similarities and what are the dissimilarities, not to be applied. So when you say that he is a pillar of an organization, this is a very common word. People say, oh, he's a pillar of an organization. Means what? Without him, the organization cannot survive. Not that he is a pillar made up of concrete and cement. So we should know where to take the comparison and where not to take the comparison. So if we say Brahman has Karana Karya Sambandha with the world, we should know what aspect we should take and what we should not take. And what is the aspect we should not take? First one we say is Salakshanya Niyama we should not take. Similarity role. Between Vivarta Upadana Karanam. Vivarta Upadana Karanam is what? God appears as though world built here and Karyam Salakshanya rule is not applicable. Between rope and snake, Salakshanya Niyama is not applicable. But between milk and yogurt, Salakshanya Niyama is applicable. but not between rope and snake, because rope is what type of karanam? Rope is as though karanam. It appears as though it's a snake. Vivarta upadana karanam. Therefore, between Brahman and the world, salakshanya amsa is not applicable. Then what has to be applied? We will see in the arambhanadikaranam I mentioned earlier. Tat anadnyatvam arambhanam shabdadibhyaha. In that sutra, we are going to see that in detail. An effect cannot exist separate from the cause. And therefore, the effect is dependently existent mithya. And the cause is independently existent satyam. Therefore, when we say karyam, karyam is mithya. Karanam is satyam. And the satya mithya sambandha alone is indicated by karana karya sambandha, and do not extend karya and karana too much. And don't ask too many questions regarding srishti. And that is why in Mandukya Upanishad, in that Bhashyam, Shankaracharya very nicely says, when we ask too many questions regarding srishti, it means what? You are giving over importance to karya karana sambandha. Just understand by karana karya sambandha means brahma satyam jagan mithya. That's all you need to understand. Don't extend it too much. World cannot exist separate from Brahman. Brahman is eternally satyam, and mithya world is eternally mithya. Brahman is eternally satyam, world is eternally mithya. Why do we call it karya and karana? We call so because karyam cannot exist separate from karanam, and world cannot exist separate from Brahman. And do not take it when we say karyam is born. Karyam is born means world is born and all that. Don't talk about those things, and we are not interested in them either. They are mithya. Karana karya sambandha means satya mithya sambandha. Part is only namarupa. Similarly, world is only namarupa. Only clay is the only substance. And so also Brahman is the only substance, and world is only namarupa. Vacharambanam vikaro namade. Therefore, vivarta karana karya sambandhe salakshanya niyamaha nasti. Parinama karya karana sambandhe salakshanya niyamaha niyamaha asti. Therefore, when karya karana sambandha is real, then salakshanya niyama is applicable. And when karya karana sambandha is as though, not real, but as though, it is not applicable. In Vedanta, karya karana sambandha is as though sambandha. Therefore, salakshana niyama is not applicable. This we are going to see in Arambhanadikaranam, as I mentioned. And one of the crucial adhikaranams is this one, this Arambhanadikaranam. And Shankaracharya's commentary is one of the most brilliant commentaries. People always refer to that commentary often. We'll try to see all salient features as much as possible then. So this is the second answer, which is implied in Arambhanadikaranam. Now, what is the third answer? In the first two answers, we accepted the Salakshanya Niyama, and in the third answer, we say Salakshanya Niyama, we do not accept at all. So the first two answers are called Abhyupetya Vadaha. We already saw about that. We also said the Tushyadurjana Nyaya through that. Answer given by accepting Purvapaksha is the law of temporary this thing. We already said that. But in the first two cases, we accepted the Salakshanya Niyama temporarily and gave our answer. And in the third answer, we give our real stand. Here only we give our real stand. Therefore, the third answer alone is the real answer from the Vedanta, which is given in this sutra. So what is that answer? He says, you cannot talk about similarity between cause and effect because that is your main charge. To whom? Who says? Siddhanta tells whom? To whom? The Sankhya philosopher. That Brahman is Chetanam. How can Achetana Prapancha come out of Chetana Brahma? Therefore, your view seems to be Chetanam can produce Chetanam only. Achetanam can produce Achetanam only. Chetanam cannot produce Achetanam. Achetanam cannot produce Chetanam. This is what you are assuming. Siddhanti tells this to Purvapakshi. See Sankhya. And Vyasacharya says in his answer that this rule is violated in our experience. It is violated both ways. From Chetana, Achetana, from Chetana Tattvam, Achetanam is created, and from Achetanam, Chetanam is also created. Of course, we require only the first one. That is from Chetanat, Achetana Srishti alone we need. From Chetanam, Achetanam can come. That alone we need. From Brahman Chetanam, world Achetanam has come. That only has to be explained. Padhi Shankaracharya gives an example. And he says, from an inert cow dung, cow dung, you see a lot of worms coming from the cow dung. This example may not be acceptable today, since science has advanced so much. So they have so many reasons for the generation of those worms from the cow dung. Microbes and so many things. Here we find from Achet, so let us not worry about that part of the science part of it now. From what Shankaracharya has given, we are just only saying only what he has given. What we find here in this example, from the Achetana cow dung, we see Chetana worms. In kitchen also, a lot of worms in rice and other greens we see. Old food, all those things are all coming. Fungus, so many things. This is an example of Achetana Chetana Srishti. And there is another example, the rope snake example, popular example, that's ready in hand. The Rajju, the rope, is Achetana. And Sarpa, the snake, is Chetana. Now don't say Sarpa is unreal, because then I will say world is also unreal. So similarly, from Chetanam, Achetana Srishti is also possible. And for this, Shruti gives an example. It is seen in the Mundaka Upanishad, the popular mantra we quote all the time. First chapter, first section, seventh mantra. Yathornanabhihim srijyate grinnate cha. Yata prithivyam oshadayaha sambhavanti. Yata sata purushat keshalomani tataksharat sambhavatiha vishwam. Spider projects, the spider, it projects and withdraws the web. The herbs and plants, they sprout from earth. Hairs grow on the head and the body. So from the body of a living being, hair comes. So also nails are born. Hair and nails are achetanam. It comes from Chetana human being. This is our daily experience. For this, the Sangha philosopher, he gives a reply. He says, your example, I don't accept. He does not accept anything we say. He says, the hair and nails are born out of the body. Which is matter. Body is matter. Hair and nails are also matter. So from material body, material nail and material hair have come. Both are material, both are jadam only. And what is the big deal about it? Padhi Shankaracharya gives an answer. If body is also inert and hair is also inert, then let us do a test. You bring a sharp blade, I will test on you and tell you what it means, who is inert and who is not. How can you say body is inert? You cannot say body is inert. Body is Chetana matter and hair is Achetana matter. This is experienced by us. How does body become Chetana is a different issue. Let us not worry about that part of it, right? But ask body, when you give the body example. So don't you agree that body is Chetana matter and hair is Achetana matter? There is a big difference between Chetana matter and Achetana matter, inert matter and sentient matter. Between sentient matter and inert matter, there is no salakshanya niyama similarity at all. And there is big vailakshanyam difference. And even then, they have karana karya sampanta. And Shankaracharya argues, all the transactions are possible because of the difference between the chetana vastu, chetana matter, sentient matter and achetana inert matter. Your body-mind complex is chetanam. It is sentient matter. And it enjoys an achetana matter, the hair. If the, for example, we sit on the chair, I'm sitting on the chair, so this body enjoys this chair. So if the chair is chetanam, the chair will feel uncomfortable because of my sitting on that. So you being seated for a long time and it will start adjusting itself and then we will be in trouble. Think of a situation. If the dress, whatever the dress that we wear becomes chetanam and you have to take care that the dress does not slip and leave from you. So bhogya prapancha beda itself is because chetana, sentient matter, and inert matter, vilakshanyam difference only. And therefore, there is a big difference between chetana and achetana matter. And even then, it has karana karya sambandha. This is the third answer given in this sutra. Now let us go to the word analysis. The word tu means but, however. And drishyate, it's a very, very small sutra, as I told you. Drishyate tu, it's a very, very small sutra. Drishyate means this dissimilarity between cause and effect is seen. Drishyate means is seen only, but we have to supply the dissimilarity between cause and effect. This is the meaning of this sutra. And the significance of the word tu means what? The rejection of Sankhya Purvapakshi. And drishyate means the violation of the rule is experienced directly. It is seen. Violation of the rule is seen. Violation of Salakshanya Niyama, the similarity rule between Karya and Karana and the rule held by Sankhya philosopher. That is what is experienced here. When Vyasacharya says experience, he does not say where. It is experienced inherently. Otherwise, you can never cut the hair or the nail. It is pratyaksha pramana to negate the Sankhya Salakshanya Niyama, his rule of similarity. So Brahman can happily be Jagat Karana. In Chetanam Brahman becoming Achetana Jagat, Karana is established in the Samanvaya Adhyaya, the first Adhyaya we have already seen. This is called Avirodha Adhyaya. First chapter is called Samanvaya Adhyaya. So Samanvaya was established. It is stabilized without being shaken by any argument by Vyasacharya through this sutra. So now we have completed the sixth sutra, second chapter. Now Vyasacharya here establishes that there is no defect in the form of contradiction in Vedanta teaching. Contradiction is a defect. So there is no defect in the form of contradiction. The teaching and Samanvaya, they are established in the first chapter. And that Samanvaya is subject matter of the whole second chapter. That consistency, that is the subject matter of the whole second chapter. So the analysis is whether Samanvaya is endowed with contradiction or without definition of any contradiction. That is the analysis. Samanvaya is contradiction here. So is there a contradiction defect or not? Samshaya is the contradiction here. So if there is any defect at all or not, contradiction defect. That's the question. Is there any doubt? Samshaya. And the Purvapakshi says, Samanvaya, in Samanvaya there is contradiction, and we say no. What is the difference in the different adhikaranams? In each adhikaranam, Purvapakshi will raise a particular type of contradiction. The internal differences in particular contradictions will be pointed out. And in the other adhikaranam, it will be another type of contradiction. So each adhikaranam discusses a topic, and the topic will be in the form of contradictions in some cases. And in some, it will be smriti virodha, contradiction with respect to smriti. Secondary scriptural. So all the smritis are manusmriti and all, they are all secondary scriptural references, not the shruti, Vedas. In certain adhikaranams, it will be shruti virodha, direct contradiction with Vedic statement itself. This will be the Purvapakshi's view. We have to resolve the seeming contradictions. And finally, it will be about logical contradiction. So smriti virodha, shruti virodha, and then tarka virodha, that is logical contradiction posed by the Sankhya philosopher. We mentioned all this in the introduction of this chapter. That is why chapter 2 is called Virodha Parihara Adhyayaha. Avirodha Adhyayaha or Virodha Parihara Adhyayaha. Now we will go to the third adhikaran. So first we saw the Sankhya Shruti Virodha Parihara, contradiction with respect to Shruti Vedas, that was all resolved. Then we saw Yoga Virodha Parihara, Patanjali's Yoga, and they were all negated in the first two adhikaranam, first two topics of this particular section, this chapter, first section. Now let us enter the third adhikaranam. This is called Vilakshana Adhikarana. And this is a big adhikarana with 8 sutras. Now Vyasacharya sees the refutation of the charge of logical contradiction, tarka virodha. So smriti virodha, shruti virodha we have seen. Now tarka virodha. It is imputed to Vedanta or Advaitam by different systems of philosophy. So the logical argument given by the Purvapaksha will have his own set of logical defects. They are also not without defects. We should note, one Parihara will not satisfy all people. We have to individually negate their charges. Here, the Sankhya philosophers give the charges of logical defect only. For charging Vedantins, he used an important nyaya here. And what is that nyaya? Karya karanayoho salakshanya nyayam. And this is upheld only in Sankhya philosophy. Karya karanayoho salakshanya nyayama. Similarity rule. For them, karanam is prakriti. For Sankhyas, karanam is prakriti. Only for us, karanam is Brahman. For them, karanam is prakriti and karyam is prapancha, the world. So salakshanya niyama is not upheld by Vedanta. Karanam is Brahman and karyam is prapancha. Brahman is chetanam, prapancha is achetanam. So Vyasacharya refuted that in this sutras, what Sankhyas claim was. Vedantin has indicated that Brahman alone is Jagat Karanam, and Vyasacharya has proved that prakriti cannot be material cause of creation. Prakriti pradhanam of Sankhya cannot be material cause of creation. Once we establish that Brahman is the material cause in these sutras, Sankhya philosopher will come with further arguments in the same adhikaranam itself. Because for him, pradhanam prakriti is the cause of the world. World cannot come out of Brahman is their argument. Now we will see some notes as to why people have difficulty in accepting Vedanta. We have to understand that because we are all Vedantic students. We need to understand why people have difficulty in accepting Vedanta. To talk about creation out of Brahman, the basic question that arises is what? Was this creation present in Brahman before origination itself? Was this creation present in Brahman before origination? And the Sankhya asks this question to Vedanta. Now Sankhya wants to show that we would be in trouble. That is his intent. Suppose we say that world was not there. And if Brahman has created the world afresh, that means what? It will be Asatkaryavada. We have already seen Satkaryavada, Asatkaryavada both. Asadva idamagra asit. I quoted all those Upanishadic statements. This was elaborated actually in Mandukya Upanishad also in second, third sections. So if you say the world was non-existent before creation, then the Sankhya says the fresh world is created. If it was not non-existent before creation, then you have created a fresh world. That means what? The basic law of conservation of matter is refuted. That is, matter cannot be created or the matter cannot be destroyed. So Asatkaryavada cannot be accepted for this simple reason. To avoid this problem, let us say, if we accept the world did not exist, did exist in Brahman. First it did not exist, now it did exist in Brahman in potential or unmanifest form. You call it Maya or any name. So you have to accept matter before creation. In which case, Advaitin has got another problem. What is the problem he has? Before creation, he accepts Brahman and the world. World in potential form, but Brahman and world. Chetanam Brahman and Achetana Prapancha in potential form. And how Advaitin will accommodate Dvaitam both. How it will accommodate the world, which is matter. And according to Sankhya, Advaitin will not be able to accommodate this potential universe at all. Now the question is whether the potential world is different from Brahman or not. If it is different from Brahman, you enter into duality, Dvaita. Or if potential world is accepted as identical to Brahman, then Brahman will be achetanam, like potential world, like the potential matter. And to avoid this problem, if you say potential world is part of Brahman, and that potential world comes into existence, there is no Advaita Hani. There is no problem with respect to Advaita here in this proposal. But part of Brahman cannot be there because Brahman is part of Brahman. How it is possible? The answer will not satisfy me, says Sankhya. If Advaita accepts the world as part of Brahman, then Brahman is endowed with parts. Then Sankhya philosopher counters, he says, you clearly say Brahman is nirvikalpam, niravayavam, without any parts. And how can you say now potential world is part of partless Brahman? If you say the potential world is part of Brahman, the potential world is not there at all. And then they would ask the question, how the world came out of nothing. Therefore, your creation theory will become wrong. This is how Sankhya philosophers, they attack Advaitic philosophy. If you say world is Sat, then there is problem. Or if you say world is Asat, there is also problem. And there is no third possibility according to Sankhya. It should be either Sat or Asat. For that, Siddhanti says, you think that there are only two possibilities, Sat and Asat. And as long as you have only two possibilities, then you will have difficulty. But the solution is that there is a third possibility and world is neither Sat nor Asat, but it is Mithya. But Sankhya does not accept Mithya. Yoga does not accept Mithya. Purvamimamsakas, Vaisheshikas, Visishtadvaitins, Dvaitins, none of them accept Mithya. And they are not able to assimilate Advaita because of this reason. They have to understand Brahman and also the concept of Mithya. Advaitin, he answers to them, the world was existent in Brahman potentially. That potential world alone comes to manifestation. And we only say that the unmanifest world comes to manifest form. It was existent in Brahman. If you accept world in Brahman, will you not get the problem of Dvaitam? In one place you say Brahman is without part, another place you say Brahman is with part, or the partless Brahman. For this we say, world was part of Brahman and still Brahman is partless. When we say the world is part of Brahman, we mean it is Mithya part of Brahman and it is as good as not a part of Brahman. It is in Brahman, but you should take it as though it is in Brahman. Because the world is Mithya, which means it is of a lesser order of reality. In mirror, reflection is seen. But do not count the reflection as a second thing. In dream experience, it's like real. But you don't count it as reality. It is like dream. When we give dream example, it has limited application only. If an example can be totally applied, then the example will be equal to the original. Right? We cannot take the example completely. You should take only what is relevant. Swapna example has got limited application only. And that problem is what? They extend the example. Swapna can be experienced, but it should not be counted. But Visishtadvaitins, they counter. And they say, if unreal elephant is seen in a dream, for example, you dream of an elephant, unreal elephant is seen in dream, then they should have seen the real elephant in waking sometime. How can you get a dream of a dream elephant which you have not experienced or seen in the real world? So they say unreal swapna world is not possible without seeing a real world. We should take the example for the example's sake and it should not be extended further. When you say man is pillar of the organization, same thing I told. I want only to extend this much. As the pillar collapses, the building collapses. So also the person is so important to the organization. In the same manner, we should take the world and the creation also. Brahma Satyam, Jagat Mithya. Brahman is Jagat Karanam and in Brahman, unmanifest Mithya world becomes manifest Mithya world and becomes unmanifest Mithya world in cycles. This Mithya world expands and contracts. And the whole Mithya world rests on Brahman. It is neither Satkaryavada nor Asatkaryavada. It is called Ajativada. We have seen this elaborately in our Upanishad lecture. Ajativada. Without understanding this, Sankhya philosopher is going to go against Advaitins. Keeping this in view, if one reads the sutra, then one can understand that clearly. So the whole problem is acceptance and non-acceptance of Mithya Srishti. In this sutra, the subject matter is the world. And the samsaya is, doubt is what? Whether the world is sentient or insentient. And Purvapaksha says, world is sentient. And Siddhantins say, world is insentient. Who is the Purvapakshi here? And what is his intention? Here, Purvapakshi is the misguided Vedantin, the third party objectionist. Because he says, world is sentient. The intention is good. When he says world is sentient, his intention is good. He says sentient Brahman is the cause of the world without violating Salakshanya Nema. That is what the third party objection is said. Since his soul is noble, soul is noble only, his wise person. But Vedanta, who is the Siddhanta here? Sankhya philosopher. Purvapakshi is unreal Vedanta. By establishing the world is insentient, he wants to show that insentient Prakriti is Karanam without violating the Salakshanya Niyam. Siddhanta says the world is inert. That is the essence of this sutra. So we will see the first sutra, the third Adhikaranam, in detail in the next class, which will give the answers for the first two Purvapakshis raised in the first two sutras. Yo Vedadau Swaraprokto Vedante Cha Pratishthitah Tasya Prakritilinasya Parasya Maheshwarah Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Krishna Arpanam.